we have a huge show, so we don't have time for this bullshit.
Listen, motherfucker.
Ooh, hit the music. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another wonderful episode of the Just Too Sweet Show, episode 86, as we creep closer and closer to episode 100. Mr. Zant, how are you this evening?
Hang on. I'm doing my best Bert imitation.
I was wondering what the hell you were doing, but yeah, that makes sense.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm ready. This is going to be one of the most important shows that we ever do. So I've been stoked since last week, since we took the week off on everything. So
we take a week off and all hell breaks loose.
And so I guess we have to stay on social media and the podcast world. Yeah, everything's good. I'm ready for this, man. I'm super. I got my tennis racket. So in case we break into a Jim Cornette,
I'm sure we're going to break into a lot of stuff, ladies and gentlemen, because they are stories on top of stories on top of stories that we're going to discuss. Give me one second, though. Eric, if you have any antidotes, just tell us. I'm trying to share this shit out.
I was reading some tweets going back and forth. Will Ospreay, I don't know how you say it. Ospreay. British wrestler who is the IWGP Japanese promotion. He's the champion. He basically, you know, Kenny Omega's held the same titles as he has, but he and Omega have been going back and forth. He made up because Omega made up some kind of shirt. He's like the king of something or whatever. So Ospreay made up a shirt to counter that. And AEW put out, you know, the crybaby fucking AEW put a cease and desist out. But then Omega has the Twinkle Toes, as Corny likes to call him. We're gonna call him Twinkle Toes from now on. Twinkle Toes.
That's great, though.
Puts up a tweet that says, oh, you know, we're sorry for this, but we're going to honor for the rest of the day everybody who placed an order on your shirt, and much respect to some kind of stupid tweet. And so, you know what? Fuck Kenny Omega already.
I love that you're starting off the show with the fuck Kenny Omega.
This fucking asshole. You know, you want to listen, dude. I don't know who wrote his Wikipedia. The second paragraph of Kenny Omega's Wikipedia, and everybody knows Wikipedia is bullshit, says, hailed as one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. Oh, like he did not fucking write that. You fucking scumbag.
You know, you could change his Wikipedia if you'd like, or you can go on there and fuck with it.
I might do it. I might write hailed as the Twinkle Toes, whatever McFinger Bang fucking idiot that he is. I don't know. Corny has 100 names for him, so I'll have to go back. Know what? If we do that, I bet you Corny will come on the show.
That's true. That's pretty funny.
If I lay claim to it, but anyway.
Well, if anyone doesn't believe us that we have a big show, I'm about to prove what a big show we have, because joining us for the first time in a long time
is
Pop Culture Pros' answer to Vincent Kenny McMahon. He is Steve.
No.
Aloysius Farachi. Boss, what's up, man?
Whoa, the boss.
What's up, fellas?
I don't know your middle name, so it's Aloysius from now on.
It's okay. I like it.
Esquire behind it. Esquire.
You can't choose a name better than that.
Why is your background blurry?
Well, because it's a wrestling show. I didn't want to mess it up.
See, you're not like Terzio. You have a lot of respect.
I'm respectful.
That's good.
Hey, that's good. Respect.
But I'm okay with it, though. It doesn't mean anything.
Man. I'm all right with it.
We're okay. Just Terzio, we don't like doing that shit. Everybody else, it's all good. So, boss, what's going on?
Nothing much. yeah, just trying to get through the days and the weeks.
What are you on month 17 of Little League baseball?
No, we're on a break.
That's why you're on, because you're on a little break.
Hey, boss, I noticed something. You look a little clean. What happened here? What's going on? Well, the face isn't looking as what happened here?
This is it's a big episode. We got to celebrate Vinny Mac. So I had to look my best. Man.
This is wow. If it didn't get any more monumental.
Well, I know you're in a hurry, boss, because there's a certain baseball game that you want to be watching.
No, right? no hurry. I got it.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I don't know how they score. Damn it, I
missed. That's why I figured you. I was shocked that you were even going to even attempt to come on, because I know what game is on right now. So
that's best for business. Okay.
Well, like you said, the biggest story of the week, Vincent Kennedy McMahon has officially retired. Oh, look at this. Look, this is how big this show is. Look, this is how big this show is this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, hang on.
Eric, do the pose first. There you go. Making his grand return to the Justice Sweet Show is Mr. Gill. What's up, man?
Hey, I'm back.
Holy shit. What's we got up, more guys? People. The first time we've had this many people in a long time.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big show. It's a big show.
If Dave shows up, I'll shit my pants. That's all I'll say.
There's no way.
I'll be shocked beyond all belief, but we'll see.
Your pants will remain clean.
Yes, they will. That's why I said it, because I know they won't be. So, real quick, though, for you guys, because you guys haven't been on a while. Boss, we'll start with you real quick. Vinny Mac retiring. Is he really gone? Is he going to be pulling the Stephanie strings in the background? What do you think?
Well, I'm not as deep into it nowadays, but from what I've been reading, because this is all this is all very interesting and intriguing, coming from our era where he became Mr. McMahon and he was one of the biggest heels ever and created some of the biggest moments of our childhood, to be gone, and now you start hearing you don't know what's true, what's not true. I'm sure Cornette will let us know what the deal is. But like you start hearing now that, you know, the first Raw without him was, you know, a deep sigh, you know, breath of fresh air. The morale was at its highest that it's ever been after, I guess, Triple H addressed the roster. And that he, you know, stuff that you guys talk about here, he was wanting to repeat things over and over and over again, and people would say, "We just did that," and he would say, "I don't care, just do it."
Yeah,
and so I guess it's timing. It's time. Time is time, but you know, among the best in ring characters ever, you know, as the owner, who we all thought was just a little ring announcer at one point.
Yeah, wearing powder blue suits.
Hey,
yeah,
hey, pal.
Until of course he screwed Bret Hart, which we have to talk about for the 5,000th time on this show, because that is the nexus of the wrestling universe. We decided that last week, by the way, that the Bret Hart screw job is the nexus of the wrestling world. It is before the screw job, after the screw job.
They broke the barrier of time. They got to the continuum of time itself.
That is November 5th, 1955.
And it broke apart.
It was all a work, man. That's why I asked you, Gil. He's leaving. Is it a work or is it real? or is the lawsuit real? You think the lawsuit's a work? 14 million is missing, not accounted for as far as the WWE goes. That's what's talking about. So what do you think?
I mean, I always say it's, you know, innocent before proven guilty. But I mean,
the background made my arms look weird when I was
if you're hiding.
All right, go ahead,
Sam. I didn't message you.
Missing that much money, you know. I don't know how you can answer for that.
Well, let me ask you two guys, and like, because we never talked about it already. If it was his money and his business, is it anybody else's business? Unless, of course, like you said, it's company money. That's going to be a problem. But if it was his money and him and Linda are supposedly separated and have been for a long time, whose business is it then? You know what I mean?
True.
It's nobody's business.
I think that's the only question is what was it company but money,
still,
which is
but he's not still good. even if it's not his money, and like if it was the company's money or his money, he's still the face of the company. So it's still very it's still a bad thing. When you think WWE, it's like he's the owner, he's the CEO, even though it's him and you know Nick Khan and whoever, you know, Vince is still the face of when you think of WWE from a company perspective.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, when CNN and ESPN broke this news, it was Vince's picture on there. It wasn't Nick Khan. It wasn't Stephanie. It wasn't Triple H. It was, it's still his, even though it was his money and he did that, it's still his company.
Yeah,
it's my company, damn it.
He's a 77-year-old white man from Connecticut. There's no way he's innocent. It's just not gonna happen. But Eric, it's a different kind of story though.
This is not innocent of like a crime being committed, like you guys talked about a couple of weeks back. At least not yet.
Not yet. I guess.
Not yet. Yeah.
Eric, as far as him retiring, what do you think this means is for the wrestling world in general? Because, I mean, even AEW posted a thing about how they're now the longest running CEO. You know, Tony Khan did that just to be a troll and a dick. But how do you think this is going to affect the rest of the wrestling world in general?
I'll comment on Tony Khan first. He can, and here's the thing. I know he did it to poke fun, but he also did it because if anybody has a bigger ego than Vince McMahon, it's him. That Tony Khan, I don't fucking understand why he thinks he. Well, I do. He's a billionaire, and his dad's a billionaire, and when you're a billionaire, you're always a billionaire. So here's the thing, though, is like, okay, so you can tweet that I'm the longest running. Well, you're not, because like Impact's still around. MLW's been around before you. Billy Corgan opened up the NWA before you, so you're an idiot. So that's what I think of Nick Khan, and I think if my dad had $1 billion. I'd fucking paint my house pink and drink fucking champagne in my underwear all day long out in my lawn. I could do what I want to do. So can he. So shut up, Tony Khan.
I picture him living like Billy Madison. That's how I picture Tony Khan before AEW. Floating around the pool, getting drunk, watching that penguins.
Yeah, or he's like the eternal Home Alone. You know, it's just like, you know, whatever. So what this means to the wrestling world, I think. So we've and on the past couple years on this show, we've you know, chronicled the downward spiral of Vince's thinking, because like literally we didn't see Vince for like 8-10 months, and then almost we see Vince the last time we saw Vince. Vince was, you know, a grizzled looking late 60s, early 70s year old guy, but looked fit, looked good. The next time we see him, I mean, it looked like. He looked like the Toxic Avenger. You know what I mean? Like his face was re-put together and it was terrible. And something was going on. I mean, you know, old age, whatever, dementia, whatever.
Breaking news.
It's kind of pink, Sam. You're not wrong.
It's got pinkish. It's just like the network, you know, around the times that we go on. Ish, pinkish.
It's got a hue.
Is it that pinkish, that hue that you got on there?
It's like the white pink. Remember when Michael Scott said there's no difference between white and eggshell white? It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. It looks like mauve to me, a little mauve.
A little mauve-ish. It's in the red spectrum. But
You put the ish at the end, you're never wrong.
That's in the attic.
Ish. No, you can say ish anything.
That covers the house, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. I'm high-ish, you know.
Do any of you think
high on life-ish?
Is there any possibility that some of these companies smell blood in the water? Well, I can't say all companies. Maybe like a year AEW, you think they kind of smell blood in the water with this, with Vince gone?
I think no, because Vince comes from a different era. So Vince, I mean, for those of you who don't know, or maybe you're too young, you know, he literally made
whippersnappers out there.
Not only the company, but he made wrestling national. Like that, because before wrestling was very regional. You had about 20, 30 different promotions all across the United States. And, you know, when Vince Jr. came in and said, okay, I'm going to take all the best superstars, all the best wrestlers, and we're going to run it from New York, and we're going to run everywhere.
All making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars each, by the way, those promotions were.
And that's the thing. You know, Vince is just a different breed. Like, what he had to deal with for 30, 40, 50 years running the WWF and with the scandal and with all the wrestlers he had to work with and all the stuff behind the scenes. I mean, there's not
– the bumps he took.
Exactly. Tony Khan's not out there taking bumps off a steel cage.
No.
Okay? He's not.
That's true. We shouldn't be surprised. We should be surprised if he looked anything remotely close to what he looked like 10 years ago.
Vince is still in good shape for a guy that's 77 years old, but he's old.
Yeah, his face is all just like...
When he got his hair cut, and when he went against Trump, when he lost that perfect, that Vince toupee, when he lost.
No, he still looked pretty good after that.
It was just weird. Like once he lost that, it was that's it.
I think he got invited to one of those Botox parties at Martha Stewart's house, and I think like Mick Jagger or like Keith Richards were there. He's like, "Hey, come over here, Vince. I'll fix you up." You know, his eyes down here, his lips are over here.
Well, we didn't make an official list, but I want to start going around, and I want to hear some of your worst or best Vince McMahon / Mr. McMahon moments. Gil, we'll start with you down at the bottom there. Give me what do you think is a greatest, the worst? I said Vince or Mr. McMahon, the character himself. Give me one right off the top of your head.
I don't even know where to start. I mean,
dun dun dun.
You see, I agree.
What up, G?
The do-rag.
Oh my god, that was hilarious. But me, top of my head, I'd have to be his. I don't know if it's PC, but his when he's like, oh. Like, I have testicles size of grapefruits. Like, that whole...
It's my name tonight, guys.
And how that became a thing that Jerry Lawler would always mention on commentary. He's like, size of grapefruits, JR! He can do what he wants!
Yeah.
Now, what about you, boss? What are you thinking?
Hey, dangle. we're going to do best?
Yeah, do. Yeah, whatever comes to mind. We'll go around a couple times just to see who likes what.
Yeah. I think I guess the best moment is him taking that initial stunner. That's what started it all.
Fuck, that's what I was gonna say. That's fucking
the first stunner.
Oh, it was so great.
Wasn't the best stunner that he ever took, but it was like, oh my god.
And that's when you knew, yeah. That's when you started figuring out that he. Again, the screw job. You knew he was the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With him getting involved at Austin, yeah, that was really like, oh shit, this guy really is the boss.
Yep.
Yeah, he really does own it.
Eric, what are you thinking?
Oh god. Well, this boss took mine. Not took mine, but I was gonna say that, but I have another one.
Not the billionaire boss, not that guy.
Not that guy. I like, I mean, and come on, there was nothing at the time better than when fucking Steve Austin hit him with the bedpan. That was absolutely fantastic.
I think I'll take it from here, nurse.
Oh my god! And you didn't even see it coming. It was like dong,
and he told Steve, whack him, hit me with it. Which is again, he took one for the team, took one for the company.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! He was fuck yeah.
Well, off the top of the head, I'm gonna go with a Vince McMahon one, and that's just his interviews that he does, Bob Costas, on real sports where he knocked the fucking paper out of the hand. No, but when he I'm talking about the real Vince, like when he went toe to toe with Bob Costas, when he went I forget the guy's name on Real Sports, when he knocked the papers out of his hand.
Was the one
because the guy blamed him for all the wrestlers dying, and I mean
he lost it. He visibly lost it because he didn't know what to say. So he started mocking him.
That's the Vince that I'm like, you know what, dude? That's how passionate this dude is. That's how much he loves this business. He was ready to throw down with Bob Costas.
Oh, Bob would have died.
But
Bob
that was also died. Like a little bit of a shoot too. Like Vince was kind of like hammering up a little bit, It was for real, but like he was kind of like, because Bob Costas is not used to that. People outside of the wrestling world aren't used to people working them. Like people don't understand what a work is. So
no, they're in kayfabe.
Vince was kind of like working him during that thing.
Yeah. He was in kayfabe without even knowing it. Like
exactly.
But not real sports. Real sports, he was pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fucking. He was, and he would have killed Bob Costas. I mean, probably five guys in that room couldn't have taken him down.
Well, that was that other guy.
Bischoff was scared of him. Bischoff's like a third, fourth degree black belt, and Bischoff said, "He goes, dude, there's no way I would have fucked with Vince McMahon. He'd have killed me."
Didn't he say when he invited him over, when he invited him to fight, that he knew that he would get his ass kicked?
Oh yeah, because he admitted it in later things. He said he goes. I mean, this is exact words. He goes, well, I mean, would Vince McMahon have kicked my ass? Probably, but I called him out, didn't I? You know,
and Hogan warned them. Said you better not call him out because if he shows up, you're gonna get your ass.
He said you're gonna get the fucking shit beat out of you.
Hey brother,
Gil, you got another one off the top of your head?
What's the life sucks and then you die. That's one of his best promos.
Boss, what are you talking?
How true it is. I wanted to do that one. There it is. He and Dave, the three of us were thinking that way. you know what storyline I kind of dug was but probably because it involved Trish. Was that whole Trish Linda comatose deal, you know, that culminated at 17, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. The whole family got involved, Steph, everybody. Yeah, it was that was a good one.
This is Ant.
I liked.
We should have made an official list, but
we should have.
Things happen.
Still do it.
There's just so many. Vince is just. Is the greatest, you know. I liked when he really when you were just talking about this, Tim. You and the boss were that stunner, like
hello, stunner.
was the awakening. But like before that, when he said, "And Austin, that's the bottom line because Vince McMahon said so." Then you were like, wait a minute here. He's not just some guy in a fucking or tracksuit. He's the boss. Like and we kind of knew, but they still kayfabed it a little bit. Like it wasn't, you know what I mean? So that was fun.
Yes. And of course I'm going to have to bring up, like we said, the one thing we talk about constantly is the Montreal Screwjob, the shoot interview he did the following Monday. Still one of the greatest promos in the history.
You can look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror.
Oh, my God. He was calm as anything. That was the birth of Mr. McMahon. He was seductive. He was icy. And he was just like, I got no sympathy for Brett.
True businessman.
You know, he didn't do business. Time honored tradition. All those things that we've come to learn from that one goddamn night. He spewed it out there in that one interview. Changed the wrestling world forever, and like I said, that's why we call it the Nexus of the wrestling world. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Who else would have the balls to do that for their, you know, for their company? You shit on a 10-year relationship to one of your closest guys,
and you take a punch from him.
Yeah, and you took a punch. Yeah. Oh, I meant that whole situation where you're like, all right, I'm gonna take a punch. All right, I'm gonna take a punch, and he got his ass knocked out,
dude. And he got back up.
he's got balls, man. Major balls.
Oh my God, I was gonna mention that. Fucking it's gonna be Shawn Michaels and God against me and the product of my semen, Shane McMahon.
Listen, before this goes any further, I hope I don't hashtag and trend again like I did the last time that everything came out like this. #EricHatesGod.
Here we go.
Oh my God.
Trending worldwide.
Hitler's not that bad. Eric's always hashtagging the worst ways.
Well, actually, it was Tim's. It was Tim loves Nazis. I thought it was, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was one of them. It was fucking. Here we are, Tim and I trending on Twitter, and it's like, what the fuck is going on here? Anyway,
boss, what about another one? Give me one of your best Vince moments.
Let's go with I don't know if it's made for good TV. The Kiss My Ass Club.
Mm. Oh, the Kiss Your Ass Club.
That was good.
Look, I can do tricks.
Oh yeah.
That arrow was wild.
And then, it resulted in him getting a nice kiss on the ass from freaking Rikishi. Or him Rikishi. Getting stuffed. He got stuffed inside.
Disgusting.
Rikishi's giant ass. I mean, and he went in there. Yep. In there. With only one little piece of string kept that dude from licking that guy's ass. Like,
that's
totally wild. Oh, God. We also have to mention, even though it was before he became the Vince McMahon character, but the Vince's commentary shenanigans, had the two most valuable words in his repertoire:
unbelievable
and what a maneuver! What a maneuver!
What a maneuver!
He didn't know what the move was. Oh, what a maneuver!
Oh my!
Oh, oh my. My! Oh, it's Diesel.
What about the WrestleMania 3 when he was like all coked out, like when he was like introducing Aretha Franklin?
Oh my God.
Addressing the crowd. Soul.
Aretha Franklin.
Oh my God.
You go back and watch like Survivor Series, and like he'll have like the pre-recorded intros. I'm like, it's the Animal Survivor Series.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just like, oh my God.
That's how it used to start. Yeah, but you didn't start yet. Yeah. That was what he was screaming.
Anything can happen at the Survivor Series. that was gonna be my next one.
Dave's chiming in with, "It was me, Austin. It was me all along."
I was gonna say that one. Come on, Dave.
And let me
get on the show, Dave. If you're gonna be like that, do the Bugs Bunny bullshit.
Oh, son of
pop out of the rabbit hole. Oh, wow, what a carrot!
He did get us all, though. He did get us
you
all.
You all bought it. Hook, line,
sinker. It was up we on did. The. They had us looking at the screen and everything. The camera everything. Was up on the board.
Man,
oh look at Dave wasn't invited.
I wasn't
you're always invited. You dumbass. You're part of supposed to be part of the show.
Jesus Christ!
You don't need
Bunker.
An invite.
Bunker, you're fired from the audience.
Well, I gotta say, you can't forget one of the greatest promos of all time, and I wanted our boss to do a promo just like this. I still hope he does do it one day.
That's on my mind too.
It's the NWO promo when he had to inject some poison.
I'm gonna kill my creation.
He was so over. That was one of my favorite memes too. So is that face where he's like this, getting ready to burst
the veins, like
veins, and he's got tears. I love it.
Spit coming out of his mouth.
And again, it produced one of the greatest moments because you were like, what? The chair spin was perfect. Perfect with the letters. And I still think, Steve, you got to do that promo. You should go back in the day when we left that other company and say, we're going to inject poison with Pop Culture Pro and have PCP written on a chair. I think that would be freaking awesome.
It would be awesome. I can get that done, too.
You got to get it done. Take a break from baseball. How long you have off from baseball?
Until November, I think.
Oh shit, you're actually off. I thought you were like had like 3 weeks off and you gotta start up again.
Yeah, well no. Well they did this this all-star team, and so I was the nice parent because they said if you can't do it, you know, this is gonna be 4 days a week, 5 days a week sometimes in the summer. And I asked my son. He said, you know, I'd rather do like 2 days. So they said, if you're not gonna be able to do it, you know, don't waste the spot. But I got put in the chat anyway, and all these people are missing all this time. But I'm still glad because it's a travel thing. So Bert, it's down to the Keys. They have a couple tournaments and stuff like that. Hmm. It would have been a whole ordeal.
Well, let's take a break for a second for the moment.
Hey, look, Joel has said and made his presence on. What's up, brother?
That's your former tag team partner, no?
Yeah, well, Twins. Yeah, and my mentor, he taught me. No, Joel's my tag team. Joel is like my best friend. He helped me in the business. He's like my mentor. Yeah, I do.
Barely have a friend.
I have one friend. It's Joel. I do. He's the only one, but that's it. Anyway, Tim, what was the where were we segueing?
Let's talk about the aftermath. Like I said, number one, Stephanie McMahon is now co-CEO with who I never heard of, by the way. When I heard Khan, I'm thinking Khan, yeah. More Khans. We got more Khans running around the wrestling world.
It's been a couple years now.
Yeah,
Tony Khan. Yeah.
So all your opinion
or Nick Khan.
Nick. And well, you know what? We might as well put this in there too. Triple H has also been promoted. Not so much he has his own duties. He is also now the head of creative and has promised.
Thank God.
He's promised, you know, fun. He's promised to listen to everyone's ideas. He's going to get everybody, you know, make the place a happy, happy environment.
Did he say things will make sense?
Did he say the W word? Did he actually say the W word?
What's the W word?
Wrestling?
I don't know if he said it right. He just said happy. Everyone's going to be happy.
If Vince is not going to be there anymore, I don't think there's anyone better that cares about the business that is traditional in a way than Triple H. I mean, Triple H, you know, love him or hate him, he definitely see from his in-ring work, the stuff he's been doing with the company for the last over 10 years, you know, he loves his business. And he knows, you know, he's the reason that NXT is where it is today. There's a bunch of guys that are probably in another company by now that are definitely thankful for what the work that he's done. And I think, you know, like I said, I don't think he's ever been head of creative before. He's probably had input in his matches and maybe had suggestions, but I think this is the first time that he's ever had a chance to really run things from an overall perspective. And I think, look, I think it was him and Shawn Michaels. And I think one other person and like Road Dogg and everyone else that mainly booked NXT during the golden years. And I think if he's going to do the same thing for the main roster, all power to him. Because like I said, he knows the business. He loves the business. He knows what's right. He knows what people are going to expect. You know, so I think I'm definitely excited for it.
Well, how much input do you think Stephanie will have as far as creative goes, if any? Or do you think they're going to keep that separate? What do you guys think?
I think Stephanie with being co-CEO is already going to have enough on her plate because she's already,
I don't think she wants it.
Yeah, I think she's already doing enough for the company as even before she was announced as co-CEO. I think they just needed to have somebody from the family as CEO.
And that would have made a lot, you know, that makes a lot of sense on why Vince was having so much problem. CEO, creative, yeah. All, he too much shit on his plate probably for the past 10 years.
Where he's at now.
Yeah, now if you're separating it, where Steph is running the company, the day-to-day bullshit, Triple H is just in charge of the roster. I mean, this should be a very happy place to work.
That's
now.
The way things should be done.
And they said last night's Raw was the last thing that Vince wrote. So I wouldn't even say starting last night. I'll say starting SmackDown, and we got SummerSlam coming Saturday. We should start seeing Triple H's input into the creative control.
There was an article that came out today that said Triple H is going to be looking at SummerSlam and kind of making some tweaks to the show.
Good.
So it's already going to be it's already in motion.
Fuck yeah, he should.
Yeah. Now here's another big story too. You have the responsibility for that. That's true, Dave.
Right. Also true. Yeah.
But Shane, he's out. I mean, he still has his stock.
I wanted to ask you guys about
that. He still has his stock. He's still going to get his money. But as far as everything else, him and Steph supposedly.
I'm going to talk about that, Dave. I'm going to talk about that.
Oh, we're talking about that next because I'm going to talk about who everyone getting fired also. Shane is number one on that list. He's out. He has nothing to do with the company right now. Stephanie and him supposedly, again, you can't trust the internet completely, but supposedly they're not even talking. They're not involved. So you think we'll ever see a Shane McMahon super pop like he got the last time he came back? Or you think he's done?
Sure.
Got it, right?
He's coming back. He'll come back at some point. Yeah.
He'll see the dollar signs now.
They got to kayfabe something. You know,
Daddy's gone. Daddy's gone. We can now really run the asylum. It'd be awesome. But yeah, Dave brought it up. Let's talk first of all, John Laurinaitis, who was head of the roster, what the hell was it called? But see, and also, like I said, Kevin Dunn, he's probably on his way out. I think this is just, I don't think it's much for the job they were doing. I think it's the old guard. Time to fucking move on.
Yeah.
Bruce Pritchard.
It's the whole regime.
Yeah.
It's like when a new GM comes in for a sports team, they want their own guys.
Bruce has nobody's ass to kiss anymore. He's, you know. He can't.
I don't even know. I thought he was just doing podcasts. I didn't even know he was back with the company.
Oh, he was. He's been back a couple years now, right? Like
he's been doing creative. He's been writing.
He's been doing creative. Yeah.
He's been one of the people responsible for this shit show the last couple months.
Yeah, but no, Kevin Dunn's got to go. I mean, and I've already put up a Jim Cornette video earlier in the day. I beat you to it, Dave. But and Jim Cornette's had a problem with Kevin Dunn for 20 years, but it's justified because Kevin Dunn's an idiot. Kevin Dunn is one that started the fire with getting rid of the wrestling word and using sports entertainment only, which is fucking stupid because it's professional wrestling. It's not professional sports entertainment. That doesn't even make any fucking sense. It's not American Gladiators. It's not, the great steroid cake bake off. It's professional wrestling. So fuck you, Kevin Dunn. I say fire Kevin Dunn now. I say don't even wait and let it ride out. I say get the fuck rid of the Bucky Beaver, motherfucker.
Well, that's the best part. I posted on the pages. Kevin Dunn had the balls to say Becky Lynch was too ugly to be world champion. And the best part was is that the tweet even says he said that, and this is Kevin Dunn, and it's a picture of his buck-toothed, stupid-looking ass. How do you get the balls to say that someone's not good-looking enough to be a world champion when you look the way you do? What the hell? Yeah. I think this is more about they're all on their way out.
They are.
Pritchard's still safe for now. I think it's just a transitional thing. He's gonna ride it out for a couple months, and he's gonna realize, oh, I don't think Triple H listens to me the way Vince did.
It's not Triple H though. Think about when he got fired. Who was instrumental in his departure? Stephanie McMahon. She was the one that raised the big deal about it, and she's the one that basically tossed him. So, I don't know, Bruce. You better go back to Texas and hang out with Conrad and do your fucking lying podcast that, all you do is fucking – well, when I was in the WWF, and I don't remember saying that. It's okay. Whatever.
I said – whatever, Bruce. It's great. They're all coming pouring out now. Don, welcome to the show, Don.
Hello, Don.
One of our new members. Welcome. A great story also that all this shit's coming out of the woodwork, and I love it. Vince Russo, of course, had to pop up and weigh in, and Vince Russo decided to say the reason he quit back in 99, which is this is bullshit right off the bat, because we know why he quit, because WCW offered him a shitload of money. But he claims that he quit because Vince told him to focus on the business and not his family, to go hire a fucking babysitter. Now,
yeah, he did.
Could Vince
he really,
absolutely. But yeah, we all know that's not why he left.
That's not the main reason why.
No,
definitely not.
So you know what? You can't say that. You can't say, oh, bro, because bro, I left because bro, because I
bro, he bro, told me, bro. I swear,
he told me to get a nanny, bro. No, because right before in his fucking book, okay, here we go. Right before in that book, okay. He writes, "Oh, I was only making $60,000 a year. I made more when I fixed VCRs and rented fucking Nintendo games." Okay, so go back to Long Island and do that, you fucking cuck. Okay, so don't say I'm sitting here. Fuck, Vince Russo's a fuck. Him and Kenny Omega. Anyway, don't sit there and say that you're fucking. I'm not making money this. But then Vince told me to get it. A nanny, and so okay. So WCW just happened to be walking by Ted Turner or whoever was in charge back then, Eric Bischoff. I don't know who. I don't. What was going on back then? Nobody knows. But he happens to be walking by, going.
No, that wasn't Bischoff then, because it's.
Well, whoever it was.
Yeah, it'd be one of the Kevin Sullivan or one of those guys. Ole Anderson. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, but anyway, he's and all of a sudden he's making the 250K a year. Yeah, yeah, Joel, seriously,
Joel, like, you're confusing yeah. you're confusing Bruce's with Eric's. I don't know. I think
that's what you're doing. Calling you out. Are you saying the A to Z program is much like Bruce Pritchard's podcast, boss? I think that's what he's saying, Eric.
No, wait. Anyway,
see, Eric is always with me. Eric
by the way,
always
yeah.
with me.
Oh my God. Is that the police sketch drawing from the street?
Yeah, that's the police sketch drawing.
That's the DB Cooper sketch of.
We're gonna have it autographed, and I'm gonna give it to Eric in a frame for the next big hall. But he's gonna be right here from now, looking over my shoulder like an angel. So let's get to know.
Like you used to.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, no. Russo's full of shit. All Russo wants is his 10 minutes of fame that he had, and you know he basically. Because let's be honest, like, it picked up after he left in the WWF. It really did. Austin made that peak. You had Kane, and you had Undertaker coming out. You had the Ministry. You had The Rock. I mean, The Rock exploded after he left. And it's like, come on. Like, but he still claims, Russo still claims that it was his idea to turn Rock heel, and it was his idea for Austin to become Stone. I mean, it's oh God. My God. Well, that's
did,
like
according to him, he did everything.
He did everything. Yeah, it was him.
It was
him.
Responsible for everything.
DX, it's all him.
All him.
I'm not giving any Joel, credit to the wrestlers themselves. It's all him.
No, but Joel's right. Between him and Pritchard sucking Vince's ass, it's like all you know, he'll shit on everybody else, but when it comes to the WWF and the WWE, he's like, oh well, I don't seem to recall that. I don't remember saying that at all. And Conrad will be like, well, I got it written right here. You posted it. Oh, I don't seem to remember that, you know? But yeah, you do, Pritchard, you fucking prick.
Well, let me post a question for all of you then. When is the next time we will see Vince McMahon on WWE television? Are we talking Hall of Fame? Are we talking 10 years from now, 2 years from now? You know, what you think, what is going to bring him back to television for the first time? Anybody can answer that question.
Hall of Fame.
You think Hall of Fame? You think he'll do it though? He's a prick with the Hall of Fame thing.
No, he'll do it. Yeah. He's got too much of an ego.
But if anyone asked him to induct him, he said no. The Undertaker's the only one that he would do that for, right. And he did it. Other than that, he wants nothing. He doesn't want no one to even mention his name during their speeches, and he gets pissed off when they do. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, maybe now that he's at the end, he's officially retired. For you listening on the audio version, I'm air quoting there. and so maybe he's like, all right, well, it's going to happen with or without me, because they need to recognize what he's done, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, give me a break. And you know what?
So he's all going with or without, you know, making a speech is what I'm trying to say.
He's definitely going. But here's the other thing, too. You guys have talked a lot about national expansion. Vince has went around and cherry picked. As you're finding the truth out now in all these different podcasts from these other wrestlers, Vern Gagne wanted to go national. Fritz Von Erich wanted to go national. Jim Crockett wanted to go national. But they didn't have the means and the balls to do it. So Vince did it. And they were just purely... Yeah, they were purely jealous of him because he fucking took the risks. He did it. They just wanted to, you know, fly a private plane and Vern Gagne wanted himself to be, you know, recognized as the greatest AWA champion and book his fucking shitty fucking wrestler son in a tag match. Come on, Vern. There's no wonder Hogan left.
I mean, that's the difference between Vince and everyone else. You know,
Vince saw it.
That took the risk, you know, because they had the AWA, the WCCW, like, they were all big too, but Vince just had the vision. He had no one else was able to see the business the way he saw it.
Listen, there were people in Texas on those indie they were just, you know, territories. You had the Von Erichs, the Funks, Houston. They were regional, and there were people there that watched that had never even heard of the World Wrestling Federation or other promotions, because that's how, you know, diehard they were about Texas wrestling. Vince came in. and just like he just like took like a cat scooper and just kind of went like this and shook it a little bit. And he's, oh, okay. There's Carrie Von Erich.
Oh, there's the Junkyard Dog. Okay.
There's the Dingo Warrior. Okay. There's, oh, there's the Freebirds. I'll take them, but they left. Okay.
Yeah. Carrie Von Erich, the poop. The poop well, is no, what stays at the top.
It does, yeah. But anyway, no, Vince had vision that they didn't, and
do you think your Tony Khans and all that Hall of Fame time, will they pay their respects?
Yeah.
You think Tony Khan?
I think it'll be bigger than wrestling. I definitely, you know who's definitely going to pay their respect? Dana White. Dana White. A lot of interviews with him, he's definitely looked up and respects Vince for everything that he's done. Because, you know, Dana White's another one, you know, besides his big gambling problem. You know, he's one that confided in Vince a lot, especially the last couple of years during lockdown when, you know, we didn't know if, you know, live events were going to come back. You know, Vince was a big proponent of, you know, bringing that stuff back, and he definitely helped Dana with that. So Dana is definitely one person that would definitely kiss the ring.
75 their respects.
Well, I just want to see if Tony Khan has the testicular fortitude to, you know, to send a message or something, or just to acknowledge the fact that, you know, we none of us would be here, this show, his show, without Vince. Because who knows what the hell wrestling would be. It might just be a sideshow act at this point in time, if not for Vince taking it the way he took it.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious to see if they actually have the balls to fucking, instead of trolling him like he did, will he actually pay the respect? Will CM Punk actually pay the respect? You know, we don't know. He fucking hates them.
What about, you know, Ryback? Ryback, you think he'll?
Ryback.
He'll never.
Big fucking headed. Fucking piece of big fucking. Fuck, I want to fight that guy. I don't care.
Timmy doesn't like Ryback.
I don't care. I don't care if he fucking kills me. I just want to get it one shot right in his fucking nuts just once. That's all I want to do.
I'll fucking help you.
I bet his fucking balls are this big.
Opposite of Vinnie Mac.
Yeah. Oh
my God, I can't stand that guy.
Fuck him. I'd fight him too.
You got fired because you suck. That's it. There's no other reason why you got fired, because you suck.
Basically.
This was David's question. I would say Stephanie and Shane. That's personally who I would think. But if it was a wrestler, it would have to be Taker. No, am I wrong? Or
you know, be crazy. This kind of off the rails, but Hogan.
I guess or Steve Austin or The Rock. I mean, or all three.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I think you'd be more than one guy.
Yeah, it has to be.
You got Hunter would want to do it. His father-in-law. Hmm. You got Hogan.
Are there any old timers like still alive? Like Bob Backlund. He's still the Iron Sheik. Oh, get the Sheik up there. That'd be great.
You know what? Maybe they might do is like a round table. You know, if Vince is absolutely not, I'm not going. Maybe they do a round table and they air it, and it's all these guys just shooting the shit on Vince, telling some funny stories, a little roasting here and there.
Yeah,
I like to see them after a few, you know, after a few drinks, and then hear all the real deal stories.
Yeah, that's what I really want to hear is the stories. Just like we got them from Dark Side of the Ring, we got the fucking strip club story, which is probably the greatest story ever told in the history of mankind.
When he took the Doomsday Device?
When he took the Doomsday Device in the middle of a strip club. Nothing fucking is better than that story.
That's great.
I'm in and out of the ring.
Don says Austin should do it. I don't know. I like the idea of Hogan. His kids are the obvious choice. Well, I think you got to have more than one person for Vince. I do.
You do. And like, so who mentioned the round table, but like, yeah, like I think there should be like the diamond panel, like the diamond crew, like all coming up, and then finally have like either Stephanie or Shane, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, you know,
we send along our video from Pop Culture Pros when asked. We'll wait that email.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, they could get like a seance going, get the ghost of Gorilla Monsoon, and like, you know, Jesse Ventura could sit there in his tinfoil house out in Mexico. You know,
you get a soundboard, a Gorilla Monsoon soundboard.
Vince McMahon. Holy cow!
I want Lord Alfred Hayes. Bring back what Lord Alfred Hayes justice. For me. That's what I want. Lord Alfred Hayes.
Who said miscarriage of justice?
Look at Dave. What Dave said. Plot twist.
Plot twist. Four alleged women inducted.
That would be awesome.
Hornboggle. Yes, Jason.
That's the induction for Mr. McMahon, not Vince McMahon, where he'd have the four women he's accused of paying off. That would actually, dude, that would be balls of steel. Balls of steel. That would be fucking God. Awesome.
It'd be so great.
Jason says his illegitimate son, Hornswoggle, should do it. Hey, he might be up there. He is the illegitimate son.
Be somewhere in there, yeah.
I want to give, I don't know who this person is, but he posted something and I want to share it because I want to see what you guys think. JD from New York, I'm gonna give him his props. He has things that should happen immediately now that Vince is gone. I want to see what you guys think. One, burn the 24/7 title.
Agreed.
Yes. Agreed? We're all agreed. Agreed. Revive the tag team division. That's a big yes for me.
Giant agree.
Huge yes for me. Bring prestige to the IC and US titles. Duh.
Well, yeah.
No-brainer.
And bring back the goddamn IC title, because that one they have now is ugly as shit. Get both world titles off Roman Reigns.
Agree.
I would probably say just have one world title.
Well, technically, I thought that's where they were going.
Yeah, weren't they unified or something?
They always do that.
How many times can you unify the same title though? Like it's
they did it 9 years ago. They had the
it's like a stock,
WWE splits, World Heavyweight Title. Then it became Universal and WWE. Now it's both again. But they should just have one title. If you have one title, it makes it one. It makes Roman Reigns more important.
Yeah, because
he's the champion. Yeah. But on top of how important he is already, right? And then also it makes everyone else more viable to get it. Because when you have two titles, it kind of makes it like, oh, you're the champion, but you're the champion on this show. You're not the champion of the whole company. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's like when Jack Swagger won the world title. It's like nobody cared. You know, like, come on.
That's true.
Yeah, like unify the title, but just have Roman still be the singular champion.
Yeah,
because everyone appears on both shows anyway, so just have him be on both shows. It doesn't matter.
And we say this every week too. There's nobody else really going to carry that title right now. He's fighting Brock Saturday for the last time. I'm doing quotes. Last time.
I hope it is.
But Brock,
I really hope it is.
Said that he's if Vince is done, he's done.
Well,
and supposedly he didn't show up to SmackDown, but he was at SmackDown. I watched SmackDown.
He did show up. He came back after that.
Heyman went and got him, right?
He came back. He came back for the taping. But I think with Brock, I mean, look, I think Triple H knows how to deal with that. He knows how to make wrestlers happy. You know, he knows how to cater to their needs. So I think, obviously, Brock probably just was just like, oh, if he's gone, I'm out. You know, but I think that was kind of like a in-the-moment type of thing. But I think if, you know, he sits down with Hunter and says, okay, this is the reality. This is what we want to do. Okay, then we're talk to him like a man, tell him what's going on, then it'll be better. And also too, yeah, like what Don said, Cody Rhodes. I haven't been on here to talk about Cody Rhodes' comeback to WWE. But yeah,
that's how long it's been. Wow.
Right? Yeah, it's unfortunate that he, you know, tore his pec and
derailed his momentum.
He's gonna miss all this time.
Well, we said that too. I think he's gonna be the one to beat Roman.
Yeah, I think for big names right now, like top five is Roman, even though he's not even there right now, Cody, say Edge. I think just based off his character and the amount of TV time that he gets, Austin Theory.
Yeah, but can Edge carry the world title? I don't think he can anymore. Yeah,
but he doesn't need to. I'm just saying top five from like a money perspective.
Do you guys think
I would say The Miz.
Do you guys think that they should get rid of some pay-per-views too? Are they a little watered now? It's like every fucking month they got a
big event. They'll do that because there's too much of a money into it.
And if they didn't have the network, I would say yes. But because they have the network, I don't think a lot of people, you know, I don't think it's really a big deal. But Don, I disagree with Drew. I don't think he has it. He had he was the COVID champ. Good for you, COVID champ.
Yeah, but that's the thing too. I feel like Drew. I feel like they kind of it's kind of over.
Yeah,
like
you're not the people's champ. You're the COVID champ.
Wow, get on the COVID belt,
Timmy. That's gonna start trending on Twitter.
Yeah,
like it sucks because Drew really, like if you look back during lockdown, he was really the main guy, kind of carrying everything, especially when Roman left.
But that's my point, though. And the COVID champ.
You know, it sucks, but like, now that he's back, and then he hasn't had the same type of feeling or push to his character that he had when he was on lockdown. Because I think Royal Rumble 2020, like when he eliminated Lesnar in front of that crowd, like that was a huge pop. I think he deserves a main event match at WrestleMania in front of a crowd based off the work that he put in. But I think now it's just too far gone.
I agree with Joel. I think they need
to go back and change all the belts. The U.S. title, the way it looks now, ugly. You can't even tell if it's the U.S. title because there's barely any color in it. It's just all gold. The IC title is just too bland. The tag titles just make, if you want to do one or you want to keep it separate, just make it a little more bland.
Any third grader with glue, sparklies, and scissors can make better fucking titles than those stupid tag team titles. By the way, boss, wait, 100 is coming up.
I was like, is that like a hint?
Wow.
We were segueing into that.
That was so tricky, Tim. I would never expected that.
Why is you guys are not on the same page with Don tonight?
No, I have, it is like Gil just said, Don, we haven't seen that from him since lockdown. They haven't pushed him that way. They haven't let us see him in that light, him and the stupid sword right now. I don't know. It doesn't do it for me. He doesn't. Hmm. He doesn't draw my attention right now.
There's swords everywhere on Netflix. Like The Witcher and I don't know.
Don likes the new U.S. title. Don,
he's good in the ring. See? He's physical. He's good. But I just feel like it's past his moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Clash at the Castle. Roman Reigns has a castle.
Castle.
Is that the name of a pay-per-view?
Drew vs. Roman Clash of the Castle. Oh, I don't know.
Or is he talking about, "Hi, laddie, I'm from Scotland."
Oh, yeah, that's their they're going to be in, that's their first. I think it's going to be the first live pay-per-view they do in the UK since
my mom's the Loch Ness Monster.
I know it's going to be the first UK live pay-per-view in a stadium since like the late 90s, I think.
By the way, Joel, like this one, Loch Ness was actually a real wrestler, Giant Haystacks. Remember him, Loch Ness, and WCW, the big giant guy?
No,
dude,
WCW,
he was bigger than the big, he was bigger than the Big Show. They had to give the Big Show lifts, so he appeared bigger than Loch Ness. Loch Ness was a real British wrestler. He went by Giant Haystacks over there. He was like 7 feet,
I remember Giant Haystacks,
7 foot one. 600 pounds, dude. He was a mountain.
This says official height 6'11".
Jesus.
Yeah. So yeah.
Well, the rest of those Giant things this guy suggested, I give him credit. Lesson rematches. I agree with that 1,000%. I'm tired of what something is supposed to end. The pay per view is supposed to end. Mm-hmm. Well, not major pay per views. The four big ones are supposed to end a rivalry. Not fucking have it continue. Oh, last night was a great match. You know what? We're going to do it tonight again on Raw. No. Fucking end it. Move on to the next one. I agree with that 1,000%. Give commentary organic feel. Yes. We should be doing commentary. Yes.
Yeah, we definitely should.
Organic feel to promos also. Yes.
Stop writing everything. Stop overproducing everything. Fuck the lights and the glitter. Just fucking listen. When Steve Austin came down to the ring, man, like fucking dude, that was the coolest entrance ever. The fucking glass breaking, him just walking down, fucking going like this, like bitching at everybody. Dude, it was so great.
And last but not least, stop.
Camera change.
What happened?
Camera four, camera three, camera two, camera five, camera six.
You're sounding like a robot right now, boss. You're going in and out.
Artificial intelligence. No, I'm saying when you watch today's, it's you're constantly overproducing.
Yeah,
overproducing.
Yes. Overproducing. And, you know, and I think I heard I love the Red Sox in there somewhere. Red Sox. I heard it. Or is that Tom Brady? One of the two.
Now you're back. Now you're back.
Now he's back. Now you're back, boss.
Oh, okay. No, I was trying to take a sip. If the guy kicks somebody four times in the corner, they're changing the camera angle six times.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And like, let's face it. I'm going to present something to you guys, okay? And I'm going to present it to you as a guy that used to work. Yeah, dude, he was huge. Loch Ness was huge. Listen, I think they should bring back the A, B, and C television programs. I think they should bring back enhancement talent, because that doesn't just build characters more, but it also gives guys that are wrestlers on the indies a chance to make a little better look. Hey, WWE's in town. We can make $300-$400. You know what I mean? It's like, it gives these guys a little more national exposure. It gives these guys, and some of these guys are good workers, because like I said, you can ask these guys, these big superstars,
according to you,
about enhancement talent. According to me, what?
Not according to you. You said some of these guys are good workers. I've never heard you.
Well, no, I'm talking about the enhanced. I'm going back in the days. Some of these older enhancement talents are, you ask guys like old NWA guys, or even old WWF guys, like they'll say like George South, you know, Terry Gibbs, all these guys were fantastic at putting them over in the ring because they were like veteran workers and they helped these younger guys get over. So I think that they should bring that back. I really, really do.
Well, Dave, it's a great segue. You just perfect gave me a segue. Great segue, because I just want to mention real quick that Kevin Nash has himself a podcast.
Oh, yes, that's very good.
And on the most recent episode, it's he said good. That AEW feels like WCW Thunder. Wow. Now that's a rough. Freaking insult if I've ever heard one.
That's one of the worst ones, yeah.
That was a Thursday night show, right?
That was the Thursday night show that if you were supposed to wrestle on Thunder, you got hurt on Raw because you didn't want to wrestle on Thunder. So I twisted my back, I can't make it. I think only the first couple episodes were popular. Other than that, no one wanted to ever wrestle on Thunder.
No.
I'm gonna listen. I love Kevin Nash. We all know that. I'm gonna disagree with him as far as Thunder, but it does have a very WCW feel right now, like you said. Because
I don't think he's far off either.
Yeah, I mean, but they're stealing just because they're stealing the.
Look,
the
I knew the like personal guy. Attack was coming on Kevin Nash. Yeah. I knew it. I felt it coming.
Oh God.
He tore his quad. So what? Vince tore both of them. You know what? That's another Vince McMahon moment. That Vince motherfucker McMahon. Tore two quads. Two quads at the same time, just running into a ring. So you know what? Oh, I give him props. Awful. So what? He tore his quad. Big deal.
But he nobody finished ever... the segment. He finished Cody the Rhodes... segment.
Cody Rhodes tore his back. Big deal.
Nobody ever taught Vince how to slide into the ring, I guess. Like, you know, 60 years watching wrestlers at ringside.
He's like, no, that's easy. That's easy. Cena does it. I could do it.
See, that's what would happen to me. I would get hurt on the way to the ring. That's the kind of luck that I have. I would get hurt on the way to the ring and be like, dude, this asshole got hurt on the way to the ring. That would definitely be me, without a doubt in my head. Don't go pick it on Kevin Nash, Dave. I'll let Eric go off on another Omega rant.
I got plenty stored up. You just tell me when.
You guys felt that coming. You guys felt that coming.
I did. I could sense that coming. I could see that. I could telegraph. Oh, another Gorilla Monsoon. He telegraphed that move.
Telegraphed.
Into the solar plexus. I learned more about the body than from Gorilla Monsoon than I did in school. Because he told you all the body parts were. Yeah, the patella tendon. All that stuff.
The patella was the Hogan Warrior match.
Yeah,
that's when I learned. Hogan was limping on the outside. He was like, oh, he torn his patella. The kneecap.
The kneecap.
Clothesline and a beauty.
Ventura was like, what?
Well, you know, one small thing that we have seen so far, I know technically Vince did write the show last night, but Roman Reigns actually popped out with a great one-liner. I don't know if anyone heard, because Austin Theory was Vince McMahon's protege, his boss. It was his boy. And Roman turned around and said right through his face, "Daddy ain't here no more." So, and the fucking crowd went. By the
Heyman's
way, the last, like, Heyman's reaction
was
fantastic. And the crowd, that crowd sucked last night. And I'm talking about that was an MSG crowd. MSG, crazy. New York City crowd sucked last night. I mean, for everyone, they sucked. Man. They were a horrible crowd last night. I'm ashamed to be a New Yorker today.
I bet they were all hipsters.
Because it's usually New York and Canada can instantly change the fucking path of a wrestling show. Last night, 100%. they were quiet as shit last night. It was really disappointing. That was the one moment that they were like, oh.
But last night, Raw was actually pretty good.
It was decent. There wasn't
like unnecessary segments. I love the opening segment between Logan Paul and The Miz, how they just went at it.
Yeah. You open with fighting and not a fucking promo.
Yeah,
opening match.
Miz just won his first title in my behind the scenes rewatch.
Your behind the scenes rewatch. I'm gonna start doing the same thing, by the way. Nice. And you know where I'm gonna start?
Where are you gonna start?
Fucking Montreal Screwjob, because that's the day after. I'm gonna start the day after the Screwjob. That's what I'm gonna start.
Nice.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah. So what else do we have? I think that we fucking ran through everything really quick. Unless anybody else got something to say.
I wanted to touch on something that you said earlier when you asked if the other companies were looking to see if this is a spot where they could take advantage. I think it's the opposite. I think that and this is an outsider looking in. I think they've been wanting Vince to continue on, keep on going, old man. Everybody's pissed off. They want to go. And you hear all this positive stuff about Triple H backstage and working with the young talent. Now you got Steph, like you guys are saying, and Triple H, you know, kind of separating off. You do your CEO kind of duties. You deal with the talent, divide and conquer. So I think the other companies, again, from an outsider looking in at this point, they should kind of fear the unknown because they know what direction it was headed in with Vince.
Yep.
Well, Don, Vince wrote last night's show, his last one, just for the record. But I agree.
And you know what I was thinking, because there was a meme that came out of it today, but I think a lot of the guys that have jumped ship over the last couple of months, I think depending on the type of deal and how long they're signing with AEW, I think probably some people are going to come back. Because I think definitely if Triple H is running things, there's a lot of guys like Adam Cole, maybe might just jump back. Because let's talk about it. I've been wanting to talk about it for a while. I feel like AEW are signing way too many people.
Oh yeah, we've been talking about that every week.
They got Cesaro a million times.
Yeah,
they got Cesaro, which everybody knew was going to happen. And at least for him, they're trying to do something with him. It was nice for him personally that he won the ROH World Title, which is a company that he worked for a lot of years.
Let me say one thing though. It's another fucking WWE guy getting a title.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's wrong because the AEW was the wrestler company. It was the company for the new guys. It was a company for the young guys. Every fucking title
is a WWE change now. Guy. It's not that anymore.
That's the mistake though.
I'm just saying, like, it's getting to the point where it's like they have too many people. You watch a show, you don't even know who's over, who's feuding with who. I know, obviously the only entertaining stuff, the stuff that Christian's doing with Jungle Boy, which is good. That stuff is good.
Oh, fucking making fun of Luke Perry. A lot of women.
Great heel work from Christian.
Oh, man.
No one could do it better than Christian.
Can I ask you guys a question though? What do the wrestling fans that are deeply entrenched in wrestling these days want? Because it feels to me that, like, just hearing you guys talk, that AEW is this company, another company that came along and said we want to do this differently, and then realized as they're moving along, that's not going to work as well as we planned it. Let's go get some of these old guys to give us the name brand.
Yeah,
and now let's figure it out from there. Maybe that's why it's a WCW kind of connection.
Well, that's why it sounds familiar.
That sounds good. Doesn't that sound real familiar?
And that's exactly why, boss. Because
I don't think it can happen.
No, it can't because they just it was like it's like if I owned a lemonade stand that was running real good and everybody loved coming to get lemonade for me and you're like, hey Eric, I want to buy your lemonade stand. Okay. First day some old lady comes up and tries buying lemonade. Eric, well, where's Eric? Oh, he's not here, but here, have some. She's like, nah, fuck you. You know what I mean? It's like that's exactly the thing that's going on.
Nobody,
but Tony Khan
wants to buy lemonade from you.
Nobody wants to buy lemonade anymore. Why?
And this is this better not be a bad attempt at a joke, Bunker. Thoughts on theory.
But also too, you know, like
having a theory.
What
thoughts,
was the
pay-per-view really?
They had? AEW Forbidden Door with New Japan.
Uh-huh.
Like you had you had Will Ospreay, who was like,
well, nobody, not everybody knows who Will Ospreay.
I know.
He's not a big.
But the way that they booked him, it was just like you have him go against Orange Cassidy and just have a 20-minute spot fest. Like, come on, you. I would rather. I know that Omega's out and that Brian Danielson just got cleared to come back, but I would have waited to have them come back to go against Ospreay.
Do you guys remember when wrestlers never got hurt? Like maybe like once every 5 years. Like. They actually had like grit and salt, and they were. What am I trying to say? Tough.
Well, I mean,
don't come across as the grumpy old
Brian
guy.
Danielson has had
back
a lot
in
of
the day.
Well, Brian Danielson has because I feel he the only way he can get over is to do high spots, and that's all anybody does anymore is a high spot, is a high spot, is a high spot. Kevin Nash even explained it. Cornette always goes off on it.
Yeah.
Even newer guys go off on it. It's
I
like
mean, I agree, but I feel like. I'd rather watch 20 of his matches than just a random match of high spots. Because at least him, he's trying to tell. At least his stuff in WWE, at least he's trying to tell a story. And it's the spots are done for a reason instead of just doing spots like every Young Bucks match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Those guys.
They're terrible.
And then,
they're
you terrible. Know, James, you know, Austin Theory, like I said, at first I thought he was annoying. But I feel like look, Kevin Nash talks about it. Nobody gets heat anymore. Nobody gets heat anymore. Austin Theory.
F.
Besides MJF. But MJF, okay, let me hold off on MJF. Austin Theory gets that annoying person.
That's why I left heat. It down there because I want to make sure I mentioned it. Yes.
Which it works. I mean, look, if you can get heat in 2022, whichever way, then you're doing a good job. If people find you annoying and pay tickets to go see you get beat up, that you're doing your job. MJF, has he been seen since he cut that promo where he quit AEW or no?
Maybe he'll show up Saturday.
Yeah. All right. So look,
fucking blew your mind.
Look, I like MJF, but I feel like his whole shtick is getting kind of tiring. Just kind of shitty.
Being a fucking the best.
No. I'm just saying. Okay, be a heel, but don't
hiring.
I'm just saying, be a heel, but don't shoot and just reference WWE every shoot promo.
That's what he does. That's his thing. His
but
thing
I'm
is,
tired of that. Like
in 2024, like, I'm a free agent. I got to be nice to this guy because I might go there. And I think that's fucking brilliant.
I think he's gonna go anyway, regardless of what he says.
I think he might show up.
He's
Saturday.
Good. He's young. So I
depending
feel like
on his when his contract 3 month bullshit is up, he may show up Saturday in WWE. You never know.
We got Bitter Dave again.
He's like
is he the Bret Hart of pop culture?
Yeah, I was about to say he complains about Bret Hart and he's going here in the comments.
I agree with that, Dave.
Dave screwed Dave.
Anyway.
Dave, listen, the Young Bucks are good on the mic. They're good backstage. Are they good wrestlers? Yes. But their matches are kind of the same shit every time. And I know they make fun of themselves, call it the super kick party, but dude.
Yeah, I'll
throw that at the Usos too. Stop with the super kick used to mean something, people. It used to be a finisher.
Who cares?
Now it's every fucking 3 seconds is a super kick. It's got to stop.
Super kick was overrated.
But I'd rather watch the Usos. Than...
Baron Corbin is a great heel.
Yeah, Baron Corbin is a great heel. Too. Well, he's just a dick. That's just what it is.
Yeah,
he's an all-around dick.
That's good.
And also, too, Pat McAfee. Holy crap.
Pat McAfee,
look at the stuff he's been doing.
McAfee's really coming along,
He's been really good.
And he sells it, too. He gets fucking, like, sells it on his show, and, like, he wears the neck brace on, you know what I mean?
But I'm saying, like, he gets
crazy, that's why.
He's fucking great. He's so great.
But MJF is still trolling. I posted it today. He had a picture of Adam Cole looking sad, and the quote, his quote was, when your biggest fan becomes head of creative, and you're stuck in this stupid place talking about AEW. Fucking, he's a brilliant troller. He really, really is. And I said the fact that he will fuck with little kids at autograph signings to me is the greatest thing you could do at this time.
I love that.
That's the ultimate kayfabe. It's a dick. I absolutely love that guy. I really do. I hope he pops up Saturday. I would lose my shit. I would lose my shit like when I don't know. The Hardy Boys was a great pop, but when's the last time I actually lost my shit during a wrestling match? I don't even remember the last time.
No.
When the NWO came back for the first time, maybe I lost my shit. I don't know.
I don't remember. That was good.
Dave is saying Pat revived the career of Michael Cole. I don't even think he ever had a career. You know what he's doing right now in my rewatch? He's doing that stupid email. You're the anonymous general manager, and I quote.
Oh my god!
Hey, you know what? He's like Michael Cole might be in danger too. I mean, he's a McMahon ass kisser, so
he hasn't done anything. At least from what I know behind
the scenes, maybe it's 20 years. But come on, man, fucking.
Hey, man, he's still look.
He's not Gorilla Monsoon. He's not Jim Ross. Michael Cole,
it's so hard to watch AEW with Jim Ross on commentary because
we got Tony Schiavone too. You know, the greatest night in the history of AEW.
It's not the history of our sport. I think Tony's doing more in-ring interviews than actually.
But at least, like you said, we're talking about how you open the show. At least Nitro used to open the show with
a match.
And then he would say, here's Juventud versus La Parca
for
but it's still the greatest night in the history of our
sport. We present to you great cruiserweight action in WCW. Yeah.
We're going to start off. It's Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Chris Jericho again, 1,000th time in a row. We get it. And then the NWO will come out for 3 hours and the show's over. It's not, let me tell you something right now, people. It's not rewatchable. It was great back then.
I could never.
But you can't rewatch it now. You can't.
Give me all the NWO segments.
Yeah. They're hard.
Matt Sting.
Nah, man, you tell me you're not rewatching Glacier and his fucking 20-minute entrance.
Glacier's all his promos look fucking horrible. anybody watch? We could maybe save it for next week because we've been on for a while, and I know Boss is itching to watch the game. But real quick, have you guys watched the biographies yet?
Yes,
I haven't caught up to them. It's on A&E, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Goldberg one real quick because,
I think I saw a clip of the Goldberg one.
He doesn't deserve one. He doesn't deserve one, first of all.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I liked that came out of it was the fact that he stood up, he finally said something to Grumpy Brett, because Grumpy Brett came out with, he was horrible in the ring. He didn't know what he was doing. He's a danger to all people. He basically made Goldberg like the boogeyman.
I said, hey, Bill, don't hurt me.
Yeah, it was great.
That's all I asked.
But fucking Goldberg actually shot back with I never meant to hurt him on purpose. And if he thought that, then he doesn't know me, doesn't know this, doesn't know that. I would never try to hurt somebody in the ring. And I felt like I actually screamed at the TV. That's not what Brett's saying. I have to stand up for Grumpy Brett. I said, that's not what Brett he's saying.
That's the opposite.
Fucking idiot. He's not saying you were unsafe. He's saying you were unfit to be in the fucking ring.
Yeah.
Which is true. Basically, back then, he was fucking, Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker trained him.
Yeah. And Brett said it during the robbery, too. He said, I told Bill, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get to the next level. I'm going to bring you in. Just don't hurt me. And the guy kicked him into a stroke and ruined the guy's career. Absolutely horrible.
Terrible.
But I said the last two biographies, we don't even need to talk about them. It's the Bellas and Goldberg.
Yeah.
Undertaker was still the best one. Just watch that one.
Yeah.
The Bells was okay, but it wasn't like, and if you watch Divas once, you got their whole backstory.
Why are they even like important? I don't understand. What did they do that was so all shocking?
Twins, Basil.
Basil, twins.
I guess that's it. And Rivals was Austin and Rock this week, which was very good.
Oh wait.
I recommend that one highly because even Austin goes into Austin goes into he finally admits that he was looking over his shoulder when The Rock started to get popular. And he's very, very like, that's my spot. That's my I was number one. He's assigned the pitchers number one. and all that shit. And he's like, he knew The Rock when The Rock was coming. He had to look over his shoulder like, oh, this fucking kid's coming. So very good revelation based on
that's
that.
Good. But well, I can't wait to watch it, but that's good. You got this guy coming after you. That accelerates you. Yeah. Don't put that bunker comment up. And Don talking about the murderer in there. What? Oh, and my whoa. Luger. You might want to
Luger. In 2 weeks. Yeah, the murderer, Don.
No, keep going.
It's another guy who doesn't
gonna get the fuck. What the fuck did he just say down there?
Dude, you know he's trolling. He's got the green makeup on. He's
Bunker, you're lucky I didn't. Bunker, listen, you're lucky I didn't take out the whole class of 92 when I was right there. I could have put you guys in a basket and carried you across the road. You kidding me?
I'll put it up because I know he's trolling. I know he doesn't mean it.
I know he's trolling.
He's only got to be trolling.
And Piper, he's there.
Yeah. Because he knows Piper's his guy, Macho Man. And Piper, yeah. That's all he knows. But Bret Hart, Grumpy Bret, God bless you.
We all love Bret. Yeah, we all love Bret. We all love Bret.
I just got through that whole thing, too, also on the rewatch. He just came back. And
oh, the Bret-Shawn rivalry was pretty good. That was a good episode also. But, again, nothing really new. I mean, worth watching if you got nothing to do. But nothing really new that you can't watch on the network already.
There's another troll.
Here's a troll that should be on the show with us. Instead, he's trolling us. That's not right.
Yeah, Dave, what are you doing that's so important? I mean, you can only put so much lotion on. You can only do your hair so much. You can only, like, what are those little beard things?
Today's leg day.
Oh, today's leg day? He waxes his legs today?
Exactly.
Okay.
You couldn't drag down. Wow, that's a challenge. Little, whoa. You don't know. You guys don't know. He weighs about 100 pounds soaking wet. That's the joke there.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about buggy whip arms. Like, oh, my God.
All you had to do was ask, Dave.
Bert asked. I'm just saying.
Bert said, hey, give me the link. And I said,
guys,
the link.
We go on every Tuesday.
Use your words, Dave. Use your words.
Yeah, Dave. Podcast. Just too sweet.
Your face is still in the opening promo. That means you can come on anytime you'd like, Dave.
Yeah,
anytime.
If you
remove the face, well, that's a different story.
Yeah, because you know it's coming. The new intro is coming, guys. So,
Nash. Oh, and of course, I think the biggest story that we missed over is that Captain America is going to be fighting the NWO.
Yes, that'd be very interesting. Very.
Which is probably my favorite meme from now on for the next 2 years.
When I saw that,
is this
title,
like the NWO that includes Virgil and everything?
I'm gonna love that.
No, it's just going to be.
Yeah.
Well, obviously Scott Hall's gone, so it's just going to be Nash, Hogan, Xbox. Just the main.
Virgil was just there with DiBiase Jr. You just fired him.
Oh gosh, I don't even want to. That's a hard rewatch. That is a real hard rewatch.
Yeah, I fast forward a lot. Yeah, I fast forward plenty.
Hey, speaking of DiBiases, did you guys happen to see that all the DiBiases are in trouble for their mega church and their fucking bullshit fucking ministry? I agreed with you. I told you that. Yeah,
a long time ago.
Oh shit, you did.
I saw it in the news.
Oh, let's see. You know, give us money for Jesus, and then we're going to embezzle it, and you know, buy a bunch of fucking coke and whores.
The one in Jersey that just got held up for $400,000 worth of jewelry.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Why you got $400,000 worth of jewelry? Where'd you get all that stuff
this
from?
For Jesus.
Sorry. I love those evangelists who have, you know, three planes, and it just ain't enough. It just ain't enough. Let's not get into religion.
Let's get off of that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we pretty much ran through everything. I'm pretty shocked we did. But real quick then, final Vincent McMahon moment, final send-off. What do you guys want to say to Vince? Because he's going to watch this. We all know he's going to watch the show. So
he's watching it now. We know he is.
We know he's sitting there going, look at these four guys. Yeah. I should have hired them.
He was wearing that tank top last week.
Before I retired, I should have hired them.
I'm just gonna hold this up.
I think the Vince moment we have to mention is the Eric knows about it, the Stacey Keebler him at the
my favorite gift.
Yeah. The greatest gift meme ever.
That's the best thing.
He wasn't acting.
There's no way he was acting.
I got the wrong one up because the speed limit one, I wanted the full thing when it goes 55, he's like.
And it continues going.
65, he's like, 75, 85. And 100, it goes, ah, look, it's so great.
It is hailed great. By who?
Yeah, I don't know by who.
This is one Dave, of those. Dave, heard
listen,
on the internet.
Listen, all right. Dave, if you don't fucking think that he fucking got on Wikipedia and fucking wrote that himself, there's only two people that would have wrote that. It's Tony Cuckold Khan or fucking Kenny Twinkle Toes McFingerbang Omega. They're the only two.
Twinkle Toes. It was me, Austin. When Vince took the bump off the cage at a St. Valentine's Day Massacre 99.
Ooh.
When he broke his he broke his sternum. Oh my god.
Oh,
and the one that was terrible. Know what? The one I sent in the group chat earlier when China knocked him out over the ropes and
yes.
his head back. I didn't even remember that.
That was great. That whole did like, oh my god. Eric, I don't know if you watched that, Eric, but in the chat you'll post that. All Vince's botches, they were fucking phenomenal.
Oh my god.
He took a horrible stutter.
I forgot about the pedigree with
the pedigree. He just fell on the he just fell on the floor. It was so great.
No, he didn't. That was like this WrestleMania where he messed up on the stunner, where you fell like too early. That was
terrible.
No, but the one with the pedigree from that was pedigree like 2002. He just did it too early. He just like
yeah, a little bit. That definitely mistimed it.
Look at Dave's still going troll. Dave, I don't know, man. He's been gone too long. Everyone's forgotten about him. Time to move on.
I heard he's cleared to come back.
Who? Kenny Omega?
Yeah.
That's Tony Khan talking. That's not Kenny Omega talking.
I don't know if it was
a podcast. I think Kenny's being a cunt and like teasing people, like because he's probably
saying, I think he said if he gets hurt one more time, seriously, that he can't.
Bert, since I know you're the only one. I mean, you are the only ones watching it right now. The new stuff. Who's the next champion then?
Honestly, what's his name?
Because right now we have two. First of all, you have two champions right now because CM Punk got hurt and did not want to give up the title. So we have two world champions. Both WWE guys, by the way, fucking stupid John Moxley, who I can't stand, and CM Punk are both champions at the moment.
What's his name?
CM Punk say about somebody else who did that?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but what's the Wardlow, the guy that was with MJF, and now he's
Wardlow. Yeah, Wardlow.
Warlord.
Honestly, push him to the roof.
Hey, that's what you book. I'm talking about reality.
Oh, reality. I mean, well, I don't know. Probably. I mean, I think at this point, they just kind of stick with their guns. Jericho is kind of doing his own thing. What's his name? Wow.
So
Eddie Kingston is... Eh.
If Eddie Kingston becomes world champion, I will not watch wrestling for
I'm the world champion, man!
He is the worst on the mic. He is a tub of shit. He is a horrible wrestler.
And doesn't it feels like he doesn't know him, but he's disgusted by him.
We just talked about him. I said he should be selling hot dogs out of a truck on Queens Boulevard. That's
what I had to look him up when Tim said that the other day, and I fucking said, wow, perfect.
He looks like a fucking medieval dungeon guard.
If Brian comes back, if he's gonna be champion, he can't be taking unnecessary risk.
So wait, CM Punk is going to have to fight John Moxley.
Yeah.
And the winner of that is probably going to lose to, my prediction, Kenny Omega. Yep. Who is then going to lose to Adam Cole. That's my prediction.
Is Adam Cole going to get pushed?
Is that 3 out of 4 WWE guys?
I don't know.
Yes.
If I were Adam Cole, I would seriously be trying to go back to WWE right now.
If he can.
Boss is just trying to make sure. 3 out of 4. WWE because guys,
Adam
right?
Cole, ever since he's been there, has been like mid-card.
That's what I'm saying. He did have that. He was supposed to fight with Omega until he got hurt. Because they were going to push that whole Bullet Club rivalry.
How did he get hurt? Was he playing a video game?
No, I think it was something with his neck.
Oh, he was fucking. He's dipping with the guacamole, and his neck went back and
fucking John.
Because Moxley, like, I mean, it's a safe bet, but I'm tired of Moxley too. I'm just over it. Like, I'm just like
Moxley's a twat too.
I'm leaving WWE to get more creative freedom, and you're the exact same character. Fucking character. You're just
doing more stuff that's not PG, but you're literally the same person.
The best part about him is the entrance. He does the fucking major league wild thing. Yeah. That's the only good thing about him. Other than that, fuck off.
I kind of feel like somebody else could have done that better too. Like, I'm just
probably saying. Not Eddie Kingston. That
fat I don't know who. Shit. I don't know who. I don't have anybody to who, but I just think that
see, Eddie Kingston though makes me feel good about myself though. I think I could go in that ring right now and wrestle because that tubby shit gets a wrestling career.
You totally could, Tim. You totally could.
Oh no, I'd die. I would die immediately. I'd fracture my patella tendon walking up the steps. I'd break my back getting into the ring, so no, I'm good. I'm good.
Dude, when I was in shape, the first night they ran me through the ringer, I couldn't hardly even like touch the gas pedal. You know what I mean? That's how bad it is.
Speaking of which, Eric, I want Joel booked on this show for next week or as soon as possible. I want to ask Joel some AZ stories.
Oh, okay. He'll tell you some.
Because we know what you tell us, but I'm gonna find out how good Eric Zant really was in the ring.
He'll tell you.
That's what I'm saying.
I actually wrestled for his promotion in his hometown, one of the PA territories, we called it back in the day. I wrestled 2-3 matches down there.
Dave, not going to happen. MJF's going to show up in SummerSlam. Or WWE television.
I don't think Tony Khan would take a bump.
No, Tony Khan is definitely soft.
He'll take a bump, but not the kind of the wrestling ring. He'll take a bump of something else.
That's why he's fucking so excited.
Methamphetamine. That's why
he's so excited.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. That's a nice hour and a half we did there.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
And I'm very happy everybody came. We paid tribute to Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Oh, you didn't really pay tribute. We just talked
about it. Time for a beer bath.
Exactly. That's what we should have done. Fucking.
We should have done that. I would have totally done. I got beer right here. I mean,
I gotta do that again for your 100th.
That's right.
So for the 50th, I think.
Are we getting belts? I mean, I'm just gonna, you know, are we getting some kind of surprise?
Things are working out. You know.
Oh, I wish your son would have popped again.
Bert's coloring in.
I would have told you to ask your son if he's making my belt yet. Because I said that. I don't care if your kid makes them. I just want a belt.
No, we don't give a shit.
What is this guy saying? I enjoyed it.
Good God, I have no life.
Bunker, you should have came on, too.
We could have told you that a long time ago.
You could have came on, too, James.
Bunker said the longest Mets and Yankees game ever. It 4 innings and 2 hours. What's going on? What's going on?
Are they just scoring, or is it like rain? What the hell's going on? I don't even know.
It's not a pitcher's duel. It's 5-3 after four. Mets are up 5-3.
You're talking about Bunker, a guy who had to hold a conversation with Eric Linkrum and Darren Briggs for fucking 20 minutes straight. So I mean, I'll give him a pass on that one, you know.
Okay, so we're gonna wrap it up. Boss Man, you want to promote anything, talk about anything?
What do we got going on this week?
This wonderful network of ours. I don't know.
Yeah, tomorrow we've got the Put in the Book show is gonna go on at 6.
Put it in the books.
Granny's is out on hiatus until next week. We got Skyline Reviews.
Which is a fun show, by the way.
Skyline Reviews?
Yes.
Fantastic show.
All things Disney.
It is a super all fun things. Show.
Yes, Dave. And their Dave, trip is coming wanna out. Do it? Do you want to do the SummerSlam show, Dave? Are you going to show up, Dave?
Do you want to do the show?
Dave, I'm calling you out Eric Bischoff style. Hello. Are you going to come do the show? If you come do the show, I'll do the show. I want to do the show.
Yes. You won't. Please. I don't even need a crystal ball
if you talk some old school SummerSlam stuff, I can join you as well and then into your predictions maybe.
We can do that. We could pick a SummerSlam. I'll let you pick the SummerSlam. We'll do a half hour SummerSlam old school, half hour prediction show.
Boss, that's a good deal. As your
it's
lawyer,
gonna be my first WWE event ever was SummerSlam 91.
I think we might have talked about it already.
We can talk about any SummerSlam.
We'll do it again. It doesn't matter. That's right, Don. We were gonna get to you.
Don, don't start being a diva right off the bat here, Don.
Don's gonna pass the A to Z program in 3.5 weeks at the rate that he's going. He's just busting out those episodes. He had an episode come out last night. He's got a new one that he just sent in today, so we'll get that posted up. on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, if I sold postage stamps from the 1950s to innocent old ladies at a nursing home too, I'd have plenty of time on my hands too. What are you talking about here? I love Don.
Wait, Dave, it doesn't work that way, Dave. I'm always ready.
Yeah, Dave. Always. Dave, we're over you. We were over you 10 minutes ago.
I am Charlie Hustle. I am Charlie Hustle of the pop culture pros. You tell me when you want to go on.
Tell me I'll go on 9 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m.,
3 a.m. in the morning. He will, too. 3 a.m. I don't care. So you tell me when you're done with the pecs and the fucking lats and the whatever else you're doing, and I will gladly set the show up.
Stop trying to keep up with, you know, what's his name?
Bunker, you're also more than welcome. I'll let you know when we settle
with Eric's crush, Mr. Align.
Yeah, Mr. Align.
What about Align? What's that?
You know, he woke up. I'm just trying to tell Dave not to try and keep up with Align at the gym. You know?
No, forget it, Dave.
Just don't do it.
He's in another spectrum.
I have a bone to pick with Align though.
I told him all that stuff.
I ended up watching like 4 episodes of that fucking show. And he didn't pop on to like episode 8. I'm like, what the fuck is this show about?
Yeah, we don't want nothing to do with it until he's on there anyway, right? We're supporting him.
What is it, like 6 weeks in, 8 weeks in?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, where the hell is this guy? I thought I missed him. I kept rewinding. I'm like, that's not him. Is that him? That's not him. So, what else we got, boss? What's going on the rest of the week?
We're like The Undertaker. We make people famous around here.
That's right.
And then, okay, so Unsportsmanlike Conduct, our football show, we're actually going to be revamping that bad boy. Ooh. And we're going to be flipping it into a general sports show with myself, Timmy, and Dave. We'll see, Dave. We'll be doing that. And then in the next few weeks, we got our title, we got our logo for the Entourage Rewatch.
Wow. And
of course, everybody is free to join us if you're a fan of the show. We know, we understand the stuff that was talked about on that show, and we're going to talk about it.
Lloyd, is that something you might be interested in?
It is what it is. If you enjoyed the show, you're going to enjoy what we do, and if you weren't a fan of that kind of stuff back then, you ain't going to be a fan of it now. So don't come with your "oh my god, you said what? What went in his eye?" No. Just relax and enjoy us on that ride.
Relax, Bobby Flay.
A to Z program Friday.
Friday 57.
All right.
Now look, and that look. Saturday, July 30th, SummerSlam at 1 p.m. Dave, if you don't show up at 1 p.m., it's going to be an hour of me just ripping you to pieces.
And I'm coming on too.
I'm gonna put Eric on and just let him go crazy on Kenny Omega and anybody else.
I'll drink five Red Bulls just to get going.
I'm gonna walk away.
Bert, go to your car. Go to your car for 30 minutes and join the show.
I will.
With a Stone Cold beer.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. How is this Stone Cold beer? Is it good?
It's good. The lager is really good.
I heard it was good.
It's like 4.8%. It's not heavy.
No, I heard it was like a really just like a decent tasting beer.
I'm not an IPA guy, but they also have an IPA, but I'll try it. But I like the lager.
I don't think anybody's really an IPA guy. I don't think anybody really is. I think it's all just
it's the strength of it. You know, if you can't handle the strength of the IPA, I get it. It doesn't make you all that full, but the strength of it is what might separate the K from the Fabe. You know.
Well, you know, I'm getting
it gets a thumbs up for me.
I'm getting shit from the peanut gallery over here because she loves IPA.
IPA is good. Yeah, and listen, tough, listen, get yourself an 8%-ish, and that's the IPAs might be a little bit more filling than your light beer,
right?
But the strength of it, you only need to drink
what 2-3
to start feeling some effects.
Just get the party started.
Nice, very nice.
Cool.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is this week's episode of the Just Too Sweet Show. Thank you very much to the boss, Steve Ferraggi, Aloysius, coming on. Gil, with his triumphant return to the show. Hopefully, we'll get to see much more of you, Gil. My tag team partner, Mr. Zan. Thank you guys for joining us. So, according to Dave, Saturday at 1 p.m., we will do the SummerSlam prediction show. 1 p.m. Saturday or it's going to turn into the Bash Dave show, and I'm going to leave the computer running for like 8 hours straight until SummerSlam starts, and anybody can just come on whenever they want and just make fun of Dave. That's going to be the show. So I like that show. At 1 p.m. Saturday, at 1 p.m. Saturday, something is going to be running live on this network. It's either SummerSlam or come on and Bash Dave.
Dave actually thinks we're kidding, too. Like, we're not.
Oh, I am so
it's going to happen. It's
I'm staying
happen.
Home Saturday to do some things, so it's going to happen either way. Okay? And Jane's got to say hello to Eric before you leave. So
okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We will see you next week. Whether you like us or whether you don't, we're the best thing going today. Peace out, people. Woo! I forgot the 3D thing.
Oh, it's done.
Do it. 3D. John Cannon.